You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. A nearly 4.5-year nightmare is ending for the Hekmati family of Flint. Marine veteran Amir Hekmati was reunited today with his sisters and brother-in-law. It happened at the U.S. Army Hospital in Landstuhl, Germany. That's where he and two other Americans were taken after being released from an Iranian prison over the weekend. Amir Hekmati had been a prisoner of Iran since August 2011. Flint Congressman Dan Kildee was there with the Hekmati family. The congressman has been working for Amir's release ever since he was elected to Congress in 2013. I spoke with Congressman Kildee shortly before he finally met with Amir Hekmati. Where were you and what were you doing when you got the word, it's happened, he's being freed?
Well, I was actually driving back from the Detroit the auto show, and Sarah Hekmati, his sister, called me. She had just hung up the phone. She had taken a call from Amir himself, who was at the Swiss embassy in Tehran with the Swiss ambassador, who, you know, we've talked a lot about all the work that we've been doing on the Free Amir campaign, and that was the public side of the campaign. I spent as much time meeting with people, traveling here and there to meet with the Swiss, with the Omanis, with Iranian officials to try to support the negotiation that the administration was involved with. So when I heard that he was with my friend Julio Haas, the Swiss ambassador to Iran, I was just absolutely thrilled.
When you and I spoke about Amir just last week, as you were preparing to have his sister Sarah as your guest at the State of the Union speech to highlight his plight, there had to be things you dared not say publicly that were coming together at long last?
Yes, that is true. We knew that our work was soon to be paying off, but that's been one of the more difficult parts of this effort, is that so much of the campaign necessarily was public in order to accomplish one of our goals, which is to keep his case alive, keep his name in public circulation, not let him fade away, because that really was the way to support this very private and frankly quite secret set of discussions that we and I personally have been engaged in for 3 years. And I'm anxious to tell that whole story because it's been quite an adventure.
In fact, we'll want to get you back once you're back stateside to be able to really take the time to hear that whole story. What does this swap say to you, Congressman Kildee, about the Iranian government's motivations for holding Amir Hekmati for nearly 4.5 years? Why did it take so long?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, Iran is a state that has a long way to go in terms of meeting the norms of international behavior. And they have, as a matter of routine, captured innocent people and used them in any way they can. This arrangement, this return, I think is a step, one step at a time, in bringing them closer to the rest of the world. But they have many, many steps yet to go before we can put them on the same level as, or sort of on par with other nations that we have established diplomatic relations. We have a long, long way to go. And that's why I was so supportive of the nuclear agreement. It did two things that are very important. It limited their access to nuclear weapons, which makes them a much more dangerous nation to deal with, particularly given their other behaviors. But that nuclear negotiation opened up a separate channel, which for the last 14 months has allowed us to have these direct negotiations with Iran on the case of Amir Hekmati and Jason Rezaian and Saeed Abedini and Mr. Levinson, whose situation is still unclear.
Yes.
But we never would have had the channels open to us had it not been for the fact that President Rouhani and President Obama spoke in October of 2013, which led to the nuclear negotiation, which opened the opportunity for increased dialogue, which led to today, which is a great day, and it's a great testament to diplomacy.
Congressman, we can't let you go without spending a bit of time talking about the new developments in the Flint water crisis. Since we spoke, the president declared that state of emergency in Flint. What do you hope that means in the homes and the businesses of people in Flint?
Well, I hope it means immediate and direct support. I was very pleased that the president approved the declaration. And I think it is noteworthy that he approved it rather quickly. That does not compare well to the way some other branches of government have performed in this crisis. I was glad to see him act with swiftness and with certainty, and that will open up the door for support for especially kids who might need expanded early childhood education, nutrition, also, of course, infrastructure needs that our community has. So I think while the federal government plays an important role, the lion's share of responsibility for paying to make it right has to come from the state of Michigan.
Congressman, I spoke with Mark Edwards, the Virginia Tech water scientist, last Thursday, and he was very blunt when he talked about the EPA. Let's take a quick listen.
EPA buried this problem. The record is absolutely clear. They've been in this up to their eyeballs since early July.
They are muzzling their lead in water expert Miguel Del Toro, taking him off the Flint problem, not taking action to protect the people of Flint, but instead poking and prodding the DEQ to do it. Do you think the investigations by the U.S. Attorney's Office, and now we've got State Attorney General Bill Schuette, should they include EPA Region 5 Administrator Susan Hedman?
Well, I don't know about individuals, but they certainly should include the Environmental Protection Agency, and for a very good reason. There are claims continually, and these are particularly asserted by state government, that the EPA has oversight but no direct authority over the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. In other words, the EPA, it is said, cannot order the DEQ to do anything at all. I want to, once and for all, find out whether or not that's the case, because it's a matter of interpretation of federal law. And if that is the case, or if somebody happens to think that's the case, I'm going to make it my business to make sure that the law is clarified so that the EPA does have the ability to step in and require a state agency that is failing to protect public health to do so, or remove that state agency from that responsibility. Where I think the EPA has responsibility is not so much in answering that question, because that's a question that has a legal interpretation at its core. But what's not subject to interpretation to me is that when there is a problem and the EPA is aware of it, I want to know about it. I want everyone to know about it. And then let them, let the public, let knowledge, let transparency be the kind of pressure that would persuade any entity, DEQ or otherwise, to do what's right. So this sort of quiet persuasion, and they will say that they did insist over and over again that DEQ step up. But when it comes to public health, it's not just between the EPA and the DEQ. We're involved. The citizens are involved. We have a stake in this. And because of that, I think we have a right to know. And that's where I think if I see culpability, it's in not seeing the EPA shout from the mountaintop that there's lead in the water in Flint and the DEQ won't do anything about it, so that then the public could be motivated and activated. And that I, as the elected official representing that community, can take whatever steps I need to. That's where I think their responsibility was missed.
And finally, Congressman, we've got Governor Snyder's State of the State speech tomorrow night. What do you believe he should be saying to the people of Flint and the people of Michigan?
Well, I think he needs to do more than apologize. He needs to commit big resources to make it right. He needs to, for example, dedicate a significant portion of the budget surplus to do the things that we know need to be done on the ground in Flint, to help fix the infrastructure, to help make sure that children have access to nutrition, educational, developmental, behavioral intervention that we know works. I think he needs to understand that the state, through its actions, has hurt the reputation of Flint, a city that already was struggling, but making some progress to rebuild itself. This knocks us back a step or two. He needs to commit resources to make that right. And, you know, he could do one really small thing, which seems small in some ways, but I think is emblematic of the approach. He could rescind his requirement that the city of Flint pay $2 million for the cost of reconnecting to Detroit water after the just terrible decisions that led to this lead crisis in the first place when they used the Flint River as the primary water source. Almost inexplicably to anyone, he has required the city of Flint to reach into its meager coffers to come up with $2 million to help pay for that. I think the state should bear 100% of the burden of that, and he would send a strong message that he is not just apologizing, but actually taking responsibility by rescinding that decision.
Flint Democratic Congressman Dan Kildee, looking ahead to Governor Snyder's State of the State speech tomorrow night. We reached out to the EPA's Region 5 for comment, and they emailed us a response, which we have now lightly edited for time. And I quote, in late June, EPA Region 5 Regulations Manager Miguel Del Toro sent a memo to his colleagues summarizing tap water sampling conducted at three Flint residences and provided recommendations to control corrosion from lead service lines and lead plumbing. EPA Region 5 did not publicly release the memo because it contained confidential personal and enforcement-sensitive information. But it was immediately circulated to the entire EPA Region 5 team that was working to require Flint to implement corrosion control. In mid-July, MDEQ agreed to issue an order requiring the city of Flint to implement corrosion control treatment. In September of that year, an MDEQ spokesman criticized Mr. Del Toro, calling him, quote, a rogue employee. The EPA regional administrator called the MDEQ director, the Michigan governor's office, and the Flint mayor to vehemently object to that statement. The MDEQ spokesman subsequently called Mr. Del Toro to apologize for the remark.